Those 7 days have almost passed. They're coming for you. Like a wolf sizing up its prey. Wondering who's next.
First runner-up, Columbia. Dumb, dumb, learn how to read.
You know what I say? I say, fuck that guy is what I say.
Yeah. Fuck him in his stupid ass.
Bad, Travis Hayes. Bad.
Bada bing, bada boom.
If you wake up in the morning and you meet assholes all day, you are the asshole.
You are now listening to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program on strangelabel.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. Be sure to pay attention, because this will all be on the test. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my co-host, Mr. Drunkard STL on the Twitters.
Thank you.
And also via Skype, the king of pranks, the popcorn bitch, old Hustlin' Hulse, Travis.
The albino alligator himself.
Travis, you got too many nicknames, man. We need to cut down on the nicknames. Just pick a couple that are your favorite.
Just a couple? I don't know. I was kind of toying around with a few new ones.
Oh, you got some more?
Yeah, they're not ready to be brought out to the public yet, but as soon as they are, I'll definitely let you in on it.
Guys, phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. We have one hell of a program for you tonight. Coming up after the break, we are going to be talking to writer, actor, martial artist, Mr. Michael Jai White will be on the program. So we are very excited about that. A lot to go over, though, before that, Trump.
I was going to say, what do we talk about before Michael Jai White graces us with his presence?
Travis, I've been toying with my hair.
Trying some new styles?
I read an article, Travis, and it's just thrown me for a loop, see, because have you heard of hair part theory?
I have not heard of this.
See, Travis, the majority of people, they part their hair from left to right. Almost everybody.
Is that true?
If they part their hair, they part it from left to right. It's theorized that if you part your hair from right to left, people trust you less because you look weird to them. You look strange.
Probably because you're a crooked left-hander.
I'm left-handed and I part my hair the normal way.
So how did people feel about the big rage like the 90s was all about parting it directly down the middle?
Well, down the middle, see, that's a different thing. And there's people that slick it back. But if you part your hair to a side, almost everyone parts their hair from left to right. And that's the way that I've always done it. But when I see myself in a mirror, I see something totally different than what you see. See, your right eye is seeing my left side. But my left eye, when I look in a mirror, is looking at my left side. So I'm never actually seeing the me that other people see.
That's really deep for the top of the show, Mike.
No, Trevor, stick with me here. So like, I part my hair from left to right, but when I look at myself in the mirror, it's off-putting to me. That's how. See, I've taken it, internalized it. People were just talking about how you are perceived of the outside world, but I'm just talking about like what I see. I see something, and I'm used to it because it's what I've always seen. But other people see my hair parted the correct way, which my hair is parted the wrong way to me, but to everyone else, it's part of, does that make sense?
It does make sense.
So what are you going to do about it?
Well, I see. I've tried to like just comb it the other way.
Yeah.
Like my hair just naturally is what it is. My hair parts the way it parts because that's the way
you've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
So.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's
and so I've been trying to comb it the other way, and it isn't like really so much a part as there's something going on up there. It's weird.
Yeah.
But like when I look at myself in the mirror, I see it and think, oh, that looks all right. So that's what I've been going with lately.
Do you fully part your hair, though? Like, you take a comb and you,
no,
like, make
a crease?
No, I don't
part my hair, but my hair does part.
Okay, so I do the same thing. Like, I've always, like, taken my right hand and kind of thrown it to the left. There's no part there, but my hair does, like, veer off to the left. And I know what you're saying because I see something completely different than
did
what everybody
you know
sees as well.
That in the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, Clark Kent parted his hair to the right and Superman parted his hair to the left?
I did.
I never even noticed it. Mm-hmm. It's like a subtle thing.
Yeah, you can't just rely on the glasses.
There's six presidents in history that have had right parts. Buchanan, Tyler, Chester A. Arthur, Harding, and Andrew Johnson, which are theoretically are like the five shittiest ones. And Ronald Reagan's the other one. And I mean, I guess he was fine. I don't know.
I feel like Reagan was more of a slicked back kind of guy.
They said he parted from right to left.
The hair helmet, if you will.
Jimmy Carter started off his presidency going right to left and midway through changed it. Probably because he read the same article I did.
Yeah.
And he was like, wait a minute. People think that I'm a fucking weirdo.
What did Obama do?
You know, Travis, like the most notable examples I can think of in movies in recent years is Heath Ledger's Joker went right to left. Every other movie, Knight's Tale, fucking Brokeback Mountain, other Heath Ledger movies, left to right. He went Joker. He went right to left. Gyllenhaal in Nightcrawler. Gyllenhaal's always been left to right. In Nightcrawler, he went right to left, and everybody thought he was a creep.
He did look like a creep in that movie, pretty hardcore.
It was psychological, Travis. They got you. Mm-hmm. They got you with the subtle hair thing. You saw it, and you were like, wait, that's weird looking.
Why have they been keeping this a secret so long?
Well, it's not a secret. It's out there. Travis, you just got to know where to look, you see.
BuzzFeed?
No, it wasn't BuzzFeed. It was... See, the initial article, Travis, I've been diving into this all week.
You've been deep diving on the hair parting?
Travis, don't minimize what I'm saying down to BuzzFeed and make me out to be some...
We have multiple sources here weighing in on this hair parting.
So, guys, I read this BuzzFeed list. Do-do-do-do-do. Let's steal from BuzzFeed.
Top 10.
It might be a thing, you know, that might be the thing. We get BuzzFeed's backing and just every week we just go over, we pick a BuzzFeed article and just that's all we do. We just beat it to death.
So see, that's what I wonder, though, is the people that part their hair from right to left. I wonder if like what they see means more to them than what other people see. Like when they see themselves, it looks right to them.
I don't think so, because I think most of the time when people are looking at themselves in the mirror, they probably don't have, you know, high self-esteem all of the time. I mean, I think most people are like, they're focusing on their flaws and it's not necessarily making them feel okay because they see the part to the correct side.
Rabbit Poundings is in our chat room. She said that she does right to left, and women do right to left. Most times women are on the opposite side of men. And maybe that's because it's like pleasing to the eye. I don't know. I don't know how the whole thing works, Travis. I know that men, when I was talking about all that other stuff, that was for men. But most women have their hair parted right to left.
Hmm.
It's a whole
back.
Goddamn just, thing, Travis.
I just watched Atomic Blonde starring Charlize Theron and I think she did it down the middle for most of the movie when she was the Atomic Blonde. And then at the very end, she like wore a wig. Like it was like kind of a bobbed, like really sexy, like dark hair color wig thing. And I got to look because she was more attractive in that moment than any time I've ever seen her ever. I'm going to have to check out.
You got
to
see which side of the hair her part was on.
Yeah, I got to see where the part was because there was definitely a part in that scene.
Right. And really the only example I could find of women in film that parted their hair from left to right, which is unusual for women.
Kathy Bates in Misery.
That's what I was going to say. How did he know I was going to say that? How'd you know I was going to say that?
Buzzfeed article.
That's really what I was going to say, Travis. Did you read the same article as me?
Yeah, the Buzzfeed article.
Travis, I'm on a whole goddamn thing here, Travis. Don't minimize me to Buzzfeed, Travis. I'm on a tear here.
I never would because this is it's all these like subtle. It's just like the hand movements and the subtle ways that people like move their hands and like mimic other people when they like them. It's all about body movement and body language and different things that are pleasing to the eye. And I'm actually very interested in this.
Are you a left to right guy? Are you trying to figure out which hand is which?
I take the right and I go to the left.
So you go from right to left?
Right to left, yeah. But it's
see, Travis, that's weird. That's not the way you're supposed to do it.
There's not really any part there. And when my hair is shorter, like right after a haircut, I just kind of go up a little bit and kind of like brush down. So, but when my hair gets longer, I have to kind of toss it to one way. And I think I always did it that way because I also have a cowlick in the back. And the only way to make it go down is to kind of push it that way.
Travis, if people see you in your day-to-day life, they think you're a big fucking creep.
Well, that's debatable, I guess.
Other notable right-to-left people is the guy from Mad Magazine, that cartoon guy. He's a right-to-left guy. Yeah, he's a weirdo. And Al Gore is a right-to-left guy.
What is the guy, I can't remember what his name is, the cracked mascot? What does the cracked mascot do?
Is there a BuzzFeed mascot?
I don't know.
They have think there should be, right? It's almost like a satire.
A little kind weird of guy.
We should draw one up.
I went and visited my sister in Kansas City this past weekend. And she
did
was
you get yourself some barbecue?
Oh, because I went to Kansas City? Yeah. They have barbecue there?
That's what they do.
No.
Oh. You go to Arthur Bryant's is where you go.
She's telling me about a... minor league baseball promotion that they go visit from time to time. Like they get free tickets at her work or something. And she went to a game and they had a at the minor league baseball circuit, survives on a lot of advertising.
Right.
And they had a promotion where before every game, they would choose one member of the opposing team's, lineup. And if they struck out, everybody in the stadium got a free, like, chicken basket at some chicken joint.
Yum.
And so every time this particular player would come to bat, if he would swing and miss at a pitch, there was this loud bakak sound every time the guy would swing and miss. And I was wondering if the guy was aware of it, like, yeah, you know, see, because I would imagine that it's pretty low energy at a minor league baseball game where people probably aren't all that invested in it.
Right.
But people are really, really rooting for you in particular to strike out because there's chicken involved. Would you hate to be the guy in the position to deprive everyone in the stadium of chicken?
Or well, seeing as how I'm on the opposing team, I'd probably relish that.
You think it'd be fun to be the bad guy?
Yeah.
They were all rooting against you. And
I'd probably pull the Babe Ruth, call him a shot. You know what our minor league team shtick is, don't you?
No.
So they have the Krispy Kreme cheeseburger.
So they get a Krispy Kreme donut, they cut it in half, put a cheeseburger on it?
Two patties, yep.
Wow.
And that's your bun. And it's.
Have you had one?
I have. It's quite the treat.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. We have the same thing, and they don't use Krispy Kremes. One of our convenience store chains around here. They have what's called glazers, which are exactly what Krispy Kreme plain like glazed donuts are, and they do the same thing at our minor league like Woodbat North League's games, is they have those. And I think I've only ever taken like two bites, and that's all I could do, because it is very tasty treat, but it's too much.
It's they the do perfect like a amount bacon of sweet and on salty and crunchy and chewy,
like a chocolate covered. Well, and
because the burger's warm, so like the glaze on the donut starts to like melt.
Do you feel like that's kind of become more of the draw to go see baseball games in person? Is the food, ridiculous yes. food offerings?
The Cardinals have chicken and waffles, for fuck's sake. Yum.
I wonder if there's like a BuzzFeed article that lists all the best I'm sure stadium an article foods. About that.
I'm like sure Major League Baseball, like some of their home team or home field specialties. Because I remember reading something, and it was like the Brewers had like the best smothered waffle fries that they serve in like a medium sized Brewers helmet. So yes, that article does exist.
I know in Seattle they had like chocolate covered crickets, and they're usually sold out by the seventh inning.
Now, what would be the reason for Jimmy Carter, midway through his presidency? The guy's the president. He has a lot going on in every day-to-day life. He's got a lot to deal with, to start experimenting with hairstyles. Like, unless he found out about this hair part theory and everybody thought he was a big creep.
His advisor probably said something to
him. Be like, hey, man, how about you try combing your hair the other way, right? It's the only explanation.
I mean, Trump isn't considered right to left because his goes like up and around and through and...
See, I think that's what I'm going for.
You have to go back and see what Carter did based on his like approval rating. So you need to figure out when he changed his part and figure out what his approval ratings were at the time of the part and after the part.
Yeah, see if it went up.
Yep.
See if people thought he was less of a creep.
Mm-hmm.
See, but I don't think that anyone would notice it unless they were looking for it. You know what I mean? I don't think that I can like call up my dad and be like, hey, Dad, do you remember when Jimmy Carter started parting his hair the other way?
People don't consciously notice any. Have you ever watched that show Brain Games, where they kind of test to see what a person will notice, where they have, you know, they're in like a retail store setting where there's actually a salesperson, and they'll go in there like looking a certain way, dressed a certain way, wearing a certain hat, and as the salesman like turns his back, he'll like rip off a fake beard and put on a different hat, and almost always the salesman had no idea that happened. We don't notice anything. We're all self-centered assholes. Like, we're not actually noticing anything, but our brain might see it.
I'm just trying to find a way that like I can be happy.
And you're looking to your part to do that?
Travis, I'm just trying everything.
Just pulling at every possible string that you can to try to like reverse course on your life.
I feel weird. I feel like there's something screwed up with me, and I'm looking for answers.
They make medications to make you happy.
I feel the same way, and like I've very seriously considered therapy to see what the hell's going on in my head.
You think like go see see a shrink and just be like,
definitely. I don't want the medication though. Like I'm not interested because I can self-medicate. I'm trying to get away from that. So I'd like somebody to just help me figure out what the fuck is going on in my head. You know?
Do you think that they'll have like a good answer, or you think they'll just like tell you to reflect yourself? I feel like that's what would happen is I'd go and I'd talk for a while and be like, oh, well, what do you think that means?
Well, they could maybe they could help me get to the root of it. You know, just like to talk to somebody and like to spare your significant other all of your internal bullshit, like spewing out all the time. And you actually pay somebody to listen to you who's trained to try to like grasp at the little things that you're tossing out there to be like, hey, maybe this is the thing. Hey, maybe this is the thing, until you hit that revelation where, oh, this is the stem of all of my, internal problems.
But I feel like if you went to somebody like that, you'd have to make something really amazing happen to, you know, like justify it.
Like to feel like you got your money's worth?
Yeah, man, like you just go there and you say, you know, I'm really bummed out because, you know, I work a lot of hours. And, you know, like I feel kind of like I don't really connect with anybody at my work, and I'm just kind of walking around with headphones in, not talking to anybody, and I can't make eye contact with anybody, and I think there's something weird with my hair part.
And I really studied that. I didn't get to the root of anything, but I learned a lot about hair parts.
Yeah, but like I spend way too much time looking at BuzzFeed articles, and it's beginning to consume my life, is because I just waste so much time thinking about the end. You know what I mean? Like thinking about what it all means. And I need to not think about all that. I just need to like do the dishes when they're dirty.
Just like live your life in the moment.
Right. But I feel like, you know, if I just say I need help focusing on doing the dishes, then they're not going to be impressed with that. And it'd be like, well, I mean, I don't really have like a medical diagnosis for not wanting to do the dishes.
See, I don't think that they really are looking to be impressed by their patients. I think the whole point is to try to help you figure out what the hell you think is wrong with you. I think when you think too much, I think that's, you know, another part of your problem, thinking that you, and it's mine as well. And I'll give you an example. On Friday, you know, my family had gotten me a gift card for a 30-minute deep massage on my birthday in October, and I haven't used it. This massage therapist is in my chiropractor's office, so I was on vacation last week, and I decided, hey, I need to go get this adjustment quick. You know, it's been a couple of months, and then I'm going to finally get this 30-minute massage. I think I'm due. It's the end of my vacation. I'm going to enjoy myself. And I'll tell you, I'm kind of a hairy guy. I got like a hairy back, kind of hairy shoulders. And I'll tell you, what I thought about for the first 15 minutes of that massage is the poor girl having to massage my back and shoulders.
Right. She's looking at your hairy ass back.
And it's just like, because I know, like, just putting suntan lotion on myself or, like, sunscreen on myself, like, hair comes off into my hands when I do that. And so 15 minutes, I'm thinking, this poor girl, she shouldn't have to deal with, oh, why did I come here? Like, I shouldn't put these people through this.
And you're paying them.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Yep, exactly.
I would do the same thing, though, Travis. I feel like the whole time I'd be on that table going, oh, God, she doesn't want to touch my pale, nasty skin.
Right. So then you're not getting what you should be getting out of this relaxing, like body endorphin releasing massage thing. And I finally, like I said, about halfway through, I finally was all like, this broad is massaging 80-year-old men who have much more hair, like full blown, like thick ass sweaters on their back. She doesn't care. This is her job. She went into massage therapy. And she's in a chiropractor office where it's probably mostly old people. So just shut up, brain. But it took half of it, like half of the relaxing massage. It's just me thinking about this poor girl and what I'm doing to her. And I don't think that's right. I don't think our brains are supposed to do that.
Charles, we're screwed up in our heads. We're all on the right part. You know what I'm saying? I think that like our brains are right part brains. I don't really know what I'm talking about anymore. You know what I mean?
Which part? You don't know what you're talking about anymore?
Right.
No, I am on the exact same page that you are. Other people might not be because they might not have our fucked up brains. But yeah, I hear you.
I think that's the side of the fence that I'm on. If I were to go get a massage, I wouldn't have a care in the world. Like, yes.
Just
massage. I shouldn't. Thank you. Everything that I do that's fun, I'm constantly overanalyzing. Like, even like going to a concert or something, the whole time I'm thinking, well, I don't know exactly how to get there, and I'm not going to know where to park when I get there. And, oh, man, what if there's too many people there already?
No. I check my back pocket all the time to see if somebody's stolen my wallet.
Oh, me too. It's in my front pocket. People can't get in my front pocket.
I pat my back pocket through every time I'm anywhere in public just to make sure nobody's stolen it. You know what? Don't have any cash in it. Wouldn't even really matter that much. Cancel my credit card. It's fine.
We went to see Ron White, comedian Ron White, about 45 minutes away at this nice place called the Grand Theater. We met up a couple of hours early with like my mom and her man friend and my brother and his lady friend. And we had dinner, right? I'm usually anxious because I'm like, oh, we're going to walk in there too late. We're going to walk. But we had dinner directly across the street. You look out this picture window and you can see this theater. You know, we're there way early. We have drinks. We're having drinks. We're having food, appetizers, a great time. And all of a sudden, I see people start walking in there. And I started to get real anxious that we were going to get left behind. So just watching these people file in there. And that's all I could think about till we left that restaurant and actually walked to the place. It was ridiculous.
Travis, let me say we take a quick break.
Let's evaluate. Let's take a break.
A little bit of self-evaluation. I like it.
Just think about what we've learned here. And I'll reference the BuzzFeed article later on in the week, guys, if you want to check it out. That's what we are now. We're a BuzzFeed podcast. If you have any BuzzFeed lists that you'd like to hear our hot takes on, send them over. You know, there's a lot to navigate through that site, you know. We'll be back.
Excuse me, brothers. The militants turned startled. This is private. How'd you get in here?
I walked in. Well, let me speak to the man in charge.
Sarcastically, I'm in charge.
You're listening to StrangeLabel.com. Viva La Label.
WFOD is proud to bring you the latest and cutting-edge podcast interactivity. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Travis the Magnificent.
Tonight's trick is very dangerous. Only someone with my years of magician experience should attempt such a trick, as it will blow your mind. Tonight I am going to cut my lovely assistant Yolanda in half. Yolanda, if you could get in the box, please. Let's seal this up right here. And right here. Okay. Now you can see this is a saw. I'm starting to cut Yolanda in half. I'm cutting. I'm through? Oh, moving the boxes away from each other. You can see her head on this side of the stage, and her legs are on this side of the stage. Magic. But we don't want to leave Yolanda like this forever, so let's put Yolanda back together again. Slide the boxes. Attach this. Attach this. Yolanda, open it up! She's back together! Travis the Magnificent!
Take a ride in the sunrise, gallop across the sand. Just you and me, and WFOD.
And now, Drunk's Amazing Animal Fact, with your host, Drunk.
A flamingo can only eat if its head is upside down.
Shh. Come here. It's all right. Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
We want John Black. We want him bad.
Look for me.
Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is an actor, writer, and martial artist currently crowdfunding his new film, The Outlaw Johnny Black. For more information, go to outlawjohnnyblackmovie.com. Black Dynamite himself, Michael Jai White, is here. Michael, how are you doing tonight?
Doing fine yourself?
Oh, man. Doing pretty good. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it. It's nice to talk to you. You've been around forever. I'm looking at your face. I'm saying, oh, my God, that's Spawn. The movie that you're making is it's like a Western.
Yeah, it's in the tradition of Black Dynamite. It's what we always intended to be the second movie. I plan on doing a trilogy of movies kind of similar to Black Dynamite.
Are you going to space in the third one?
Well, no. We're going to go into the horror genre on the third one. This is kind of a homage to the Westerns and movies like, dare I say, you know, Blazing Saddles, that type of thing.
Kind of looked like Fred Williamson in The Boss in the trailer I saw. Did you?
I know exactly what movie you're talking about that we can't say.
Yeah, we can't say it, but it's a great movie.
yeah, you know, I think about that theme song.
Oh, hey, it's amazing.
It's hilarious.
Well, you were like a big action guy for a while, and Black Dynamite was kind of like your first real foray into comedy. What made you decide to go that route, or did it just sort of happen? Well,
it's not my first. Actually, I'd done several comedy things, but it's kind of like when, you know, you can do dramas and comedies, but when you start doing action, you start people start to define you by that because it's so specific, especially martial arts stuff.
Right.
So, you know, I kind of knew that going into this business, which is why I didn't do any martial art type stuff well until later into my career. Because I knew that there was that tendency. But so, I'd done comedies. I'd done movies, Why Did I Get Married? A movie called Thick as Thieves with Alec Baldwin. Ringmaster. I did several comedies beforehand.
You were a black belt in seven different styles of martial arts, and you started like at a really young age. So that was kind of like your first passion, I assume. What made you decide you wanted to get into acting?
Well, martial arts just happened to be something I was into. Like, you know, like I did, you know, I played music as well. I played piano, but it didn't have a connection with the acting, so to speak. I just got interested in acting later on when I was in, my first years of college and stuff. You know, of course, there's because of doing martial arts, there's some opportunities to fuse the two together. You know, so I did theater. I did a lot of just straight legitimate acting work before I did any of the action stuff.
And then you were able to kind of merge them together and say, "Hey, guys, you know, I can kick people in the head too. That's a thing I can do."
Yeah, which was cool because the first time I really started doing martial arts in movies, the first real time was in Universal Soldier 2. And at that time, I had done Spawn and the Mike Tyson story. And a lot of folks thought maybe somebody doubled me for the martial arts stuff, which was that's what I was going for. I wanted, I wanted people to think of me as the actor first. And so that was the case. But then, you know, later on, people think that I got into the movies based on martial arts.
That is what I thought. Yeah.
That takes a lot of foresight for a young actor to know that how he wanted to define his career. Because I would think, you know, as a young man doing theater, that you could just say, hey, how much easier would it be to break into movies by, you know, doing these martial arts?
Well, yeah, but, you know, but there's never been a time where somebody has done martial art movies and was taken serious as an actor. You know, it's kind of like one of those things where you just don't see that happening. Because, you know, most of the time people are going to pigeonhole you, you know? So I knew my career would be a fight against that. So I didn't want to start out of the gate with the industry thinking that I only did martial arts.
And I suppose that is true. It's just like with people who are, you know, relatively well known for, you know, comedic talents, when they try to, you know, make the foray into drama, usually they're universally panned, and not because their performance is actually that bad. It's just because, hey, it's the rubber face guy. He's trying to do a psychological thriller. I can't watch this.
Well, yeah, you either have to, you have to be very, very good that so people forget, or it's you know, or be lucky enough to be cast in something that you know, people think that you can do that. But luckily for me, in the industry, as far as studios and executives are concerned, I'm the guy who did Spawn and the Mike Tyson story and dramas, you know, these dramas. That's the first way they know me. They knew me as an actor first. So, you know, it's hard to for them to look at me differently. But people later who discover me, they think just the martial arts.
I imagine it would be very difficult to have things about you be kind of out in the sphere and be able to look them up and to be able to, you know, reference them and go back and say, wait, that's not what I was trying to put out there.
Well, yeah, that happens a lot. I mean, I don't hold it against people. It's just what you do. You normally have to kind of, you know, shelf people. That's just the nature. Until you kind of show that you don't belong on one shelf. You have other things. But I have this very eclectic career where there are fans and there's groups who see me as different characters. There's groups that see me as Spawn, which is, of course, there's, you know, that's like a, you know, sci-fi thing. And then there's people that, you know, call me Marcus, which is from the Tyler Perry world, you know. And then I'm Black Dynamite in other situations. And then I'm Bone from Blood and Bone, because people who are really following the martial arts, that tends to be their favorite movie. And so, you know, I got these, all these, you know, strange one word characters that people associate me to, but it's a good thing, especially now that I'm doing my own stuff and creating my own brand. There's going to be a lot more coming up to confuse people.
You're putting together a production company called Gigantic. J-I-J-A-I-Gantic.
Yes. So it's been working out really good. And, you know, I've always wanted to do my own thing.
And it's a good pun, too. It's good.
Yeah. You see, I've been doing movies all around the globe. You know, a lot of people in the States may not know that. Like, I just came back from Romania 3 days ago, and that's my third movie in Romania. My whole plan was to look at this whole business in a global context. And so, you know, I can then begin to do my own films because my stuff is sold around the world.
Well, and if you've built yourself like quite the fan base, because you are so responsive to people who try to interact with you on social media. I see you constantly talking to people and answering questions, and you've built something for yourself where you're able to have, you know, help with funding some of these projects, or at least, you know, supporting the things that you're doing on your own, which is quite amazing.
Yeah, I try to, because, you know, it's one of the things, it's fortunate because I actually do like to interact with people. Part of why I'm even an actor is because, you know, I like to study people. For an actor, you know, we're responsible to recreate humanity and be connected. And so, you know, in a large sense, this social media thing has allowed me to interact with people in a way where I couldn't before. So, you know, and build the audience and find out what they really, you know, really give them some insight into things. And especially with what I'm getting ready to do now, to get them involved in the whole process and build up the audience until the time where you can sit actually in front of these fans who help put you where you are and be able to shake their hands and look at them, you know, face to face one day. Because, you know, now, you know, before you could only do that with studios, and if they organized, you know, maybe a few screenings or whatever, you never really get a chance to meet your fans. But now that I'm doing my own thing, this is something I feel that's important. So I really want to be interactive with the fan base and be able to do movies that, you know, the fans would not normally be able to see through the regular studio system. A lot of the mid-sized movies are kind of going away, you know? So, you know, you got the big giant movies. That's fine. That's what studios are doing. But some of the smaller movies, some of the movies that I focus on, I mean, I'm going to be doing big films and smaller ones, but some of them, you know, like in the tradition of the Clint Eastwoods and the Charles Bronsons and these things, these movies where you can sit back and drink a beer and enjoy it, some kick-ass type of movies. Well, this
maybe
is my
not with take. like an exploding robot and.
What's that?
Maybe something, you know, without an exploding robot and giant 300 foot shark and stuff. Just people doing things.
Realistic movies that, you know, that people want to live vicariously through, where you it's not just some means feel your movies that you feel like these people really are doing the stunts, you know, and you know, I think the Salt of the Earth type films.
And it's hard to do those now. Like you said, like all the studios are doing like their major blockbusters that they are almost certain were going to bring back profit. So for people who are doing smaller movies, which are probably quite amazing, they get lost in the shuffle. So if people can find them, you know, they'll probably rave about these things that they see, but it's just trying to get those to the audience. I think that's probably the issue.
Yeah. And these are movies that you can watch over and over and over. These tend to be people's favorite movie because a lot of these type of movies, like when they come on, you watch them again. You know, some of the big blockbuster movies, they're so formulaic. You kind of know what's going to happen. You know, so, I mean, I like to, you know, give people an experience. And, you know, the studios are not making movies like Outlaw Johnny Black or Black Dynamite or, you know, Blood and Bone. And I have some really, really great movies in store that you're just not going to see that haven't really been done before.
So unless people go to outlawjohnnyblackmovie.com.
<What's that?
laughs> Throw Michael 20 bucks so he can make his movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's about like, I want people to be included and see, you know, with the website, we got things that items that have limitations on them. Like certain shirts will never be made anymore. We have unique belt buckles, bullets with your name on it, certain posters that are only going to be printed up to a certain amount. So there will be collector's items. It's something that's going to appreciate the moment you get it because, you know, and then the fact is there are certain cases where you can possibly get a walk-on role in the movie. Those there's contests and things like that. And
I was gonna say too, and if you have some real money, you can be a producer on the film.
True. And that's an experience that I like to open up to people, because when you make a movie, you're making something. It's kind of, there's an immortality to it because the movie is going to outlive you, you know.
Hopefully
there's certain situations where you can name the horse in the movie. You can you know, you can give the, you know, you can name the livery stable
and name the horse in the movie. That could be dangerous.
A fun thing for people to be involved.
Michael, I had a question about your black belts. Now, mm-hmm. I work in a factory, and when you run a machine, like every year or so, you have to be like recertified on the machine. Like, you know, they mm-hmm. say, well, you might have forgotten a thing or two. Let's make sure that you still know what you're doing here. Right. Is that how black belts work? Or like once you have a black belt, you just forever have a black belt?
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of works that way. You don't, it doesn't diminish. But if you're trying to get another degree, that's when you have to sharpen your skills and be credible to get the next degree of black belt.
That's also if you're trying to compete, right? If you're trying to join a like a tournament, you need to make sure that you can still test in that belt.
Yeah, to some degree. Usually from third degree on is not as physical. Sometimes with, like, say, traditionally, if you're getting a third degree or fourth degree, that's kind of a thing where, like, you've had tenure. Like, say, some systems, to get a third or fourth degree, you've had to have promoted 20 students from white belt to black belt yourself. You know, there's certain milestones that you've had to create. That's why a lot of times nowadays that martial arts has become a business, they throw out all kinds of these degrees. There's some situations where there's kids that are 13 year olds and they're giving them fifth degree black belts, which is to me is silly, you know, because it's become a business.
They just keep certifying them.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you get a sixth degree black belt. Come back.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, but traditionally, you can't get a fourth degree black belt unless you've got 30 years in the style, you know, that's like part of the conditions of becoming a third degree.
You mean the 6 week session doesn't qualify you for the next degree?
it's become kind of crazy now. So the majority of the people walking around with, you know, eighth degrees and all that type of stuff is all this very made up stuff now. People have found out that you can just fake it, and the majority of folks are not going to know any different.
In doing research for the interview, Michael, the thing that kept popping up over and over again was you did a radio interview where you said that you could beat Bruce Lee in a fight.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the big thing when you Google you is a lot of people had comments on whether or not you could actually beat Bruce Lee in a fight. Yeah, so I thought maybe to raise awareness of this interview and, you know, like really get the headlines out there, I could just like name a bunch of people and you could just, I mean, whether you have any thoughts, I could just like say some people and you could just say you could beat them all in a fight.
Well, we would love to be featured in the AV club. So please answer honestly.
Well, that thing is something I really regret saying, because there's certain things that you don't say to people who are non-martial artists. There's no fighter, real fighter, who would disagree with what I said. But see, Bruce Lee is a hero to everyone. He's a hero to me. He's the best martial artist in the world who's ever lived, in my opinion. But when you start, you know, pointing out reality to people that don't want to really face it, it's almost like sacrilegious. And well, so
yeah, you know, I think what you said was that you outweighed him by 100 pounds.
Well, yeah, there's no fighter in the history of fighting, you know, no fighter who, like, I should have said, well, a guy Bruce Lee size who's 132 pounds, if he fought another fighter that's 150, it'd be very hard for him to defeat that person.
Well, and that's why they don't pair those types of people up in boxing or like UFC.
I think Rey Mysterio once beat the Big Show, Travis.
Yeah, a real fighter would not have any kind of discrepancy of what I said. And for, you know, me to weigh literally 100 pounds more than another person who's never fought, who's never been a professional fighter ever, who's my hero, but the reality is he's never been a professional fighter. But you know, you don't want your heroes' names besmirched. I shouldn't have said that in mixed company. I should have only said that to fighters. But, you know, sometimes you try to educate people to reality and it just doesn't work, you know. So, you know, I regret that I said it, because, you know, people shouldn't, you know, and really it's like he's more of a hero to me than many people. But I just happen to speak about things that, like, hey, you know, it's kind of like, here's the magic trick. You know, here's the solution to the magic trick. Some people don't need to know that stuff.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, and I'm glad you said that, because if you say that you could beat up Cody from Step by Step, who starred in Kickboxer 2, 3, and 4, I'm going to be very upset.
Michael could probably beat up Cody.
I learned my lesson.
Okay, not Liam Neeson, the actor, Michael, but what about his character in the movie Taken?
Oh, I love it. I love it. And, well, Liam Neeson, you know, he was a professional boxer at one time.
He was?
And yeah, he was a boxer. And, you know, there's certain realities that come out, you know. There's some actors who, you know, you just believe them. Even though Liam Neeson's of advanced age, it just shows that when you have that kind of ethic, it just kind of I think it just kind of rings true.
But you, Michael, you could take him though.
If you took his character's daughter, do you think he could get her back?
If I took his daughter?
Yeah, if you took his character's daughter, do you think his particular set of skills could get her back, or would you rue the day?
Well, hey, I think so, because it'd probably be his movie. So, I'm no fool. That would be a decent payday. And I respect Liam Neeson a great deal, and I won't even say that I could beat him up. I won't even say that, you know, I could beat up this 70-year-old guy.
Won't even say it out loud.
Nope, I'm not going to say that.
So you won't beat him up because you don't want to, not because you couldn't.
Well, you know, I'm not even going to say I could.
But what if it really came down to it?
Travis, we don't have our salacious headline yet.
I will destroy Liam Neeson in a fight. That's what you wanted me to say.
Oh, there we go. We got it.
Audio pull.
Okay, guys, for more information, go to outlawjohnnyblackmovie.com. Michael, what's your Twitter handle so that people can tweet at you and tell them they heard you?
I believe it's just hashtag Michael Jai White. And Jai is J-A-I. A lot of people call me Michael J. White, you know, because I believe it's because people are so used to Michael J. Fox. I think it just rolls off their tongue.
Well, it's not wrong, I guess. And
I will not say that I could beat up Michael J. Fox.
Could you beat up Marty McFly?
Possibly. I think, you know, Black Dynamite versus Marty McFly. I'd give it Black Dynamite. Yeah.
Hey, I have one final question, Michael. You have 13 years on me, and I look like I could be your decrepit old grandpa. Do you have any tips for me? Is sitting on the couch going to get me in better shape, eating snacks, drinking alcohol? What do I need to do?
I knew you knew the answer anyway. You know, you just got to get up and get moving. You know, and what it is I happen to be the happiest guy I know. And I think that's a large part of it. I don't feel any different than I felt in my 20s. Physically, as long as I'm, you know, under a certain weight, I don't feel any age whatsoever. You know, I just, there's just certain things that I can't eat, you know, that kind of bother me a little bit. And I got some gray, you know, but physically I feel no different.
So what you're saying is the first step is I need to be happy.
There you go, Travis.
I think find your
happiness.
Yeah, if you're happy, you then do a lot of other things. You know, you do good things for yourself. You do things that you know, because you feel like working out. You feel like, you know, there's. I look at it like this, man. There's cane day for all of us, right? There's a day that we're going to be walking with a cane, and we're going to wish we had the option of being able to run and work out. We'll give anything we had to be able to do that. And so basically, I know that day is way down the road for me. And I don't want to feel terrible at that day knowing that I had this ability and I didn't use it. So, you know, that kind of inspires me to look at every day, the fact that I can get up and run and move. And you know, my body does what my brain tells it to do. I cherish these days because I know they're not going to be around all my life. So
I feel like that point right there might have just inspired me, actually, and might be my favorite takeaway.
Well, thank you. Well, then I'm happy to have done that.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can do it again sometime. Appreciate your time.
All right. I look forward to that.
OutlawedJohnnyBlackMovie.com. Check out the movie that Michael is crowdfunding. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Michael.
A few shekels.
Take care.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm already thinking of stuff that I meant to ask him.
You just hung up.
They were talking about the ninja stuff. It seemed like he didn't want to get into the ninja stuff, Travis. He wanted to be taken as seriously as an actor.
I feel like you could talk to him about this. I think he seemed to be fairly open to speaking about it.
I was looking up Steven Seagal. And did you know that Steven Seagal is a black belt in a style of karate that's only useful if it's the guy coming at you has a sword?
That's crazy.
Like, he's a black belt in like
what?
Fighting guys with swords when you don't have a sword. That's like the style.
Like hand-to-hand, like hand-to-sword fighting?
Yeah, like he's a guy with his hands, and there's guys coming at him with swords.
How many people are black belts in this particular martial art?
Like, getting swords away from people. That's the style of karate that he's good at.
How many people are black belts in this particular martial art?
I don't know. It's like one type of martial art that Steven, like, you know how Steven Seagal does that thing where like people run at him and he like uses their momentum to like knock them on their ass. Like, he gets out of the way and knocks them over.
The only thing I could think of with Steven Seagal is him putting a pool ball in a sock and beating the shit out of guys and out for justice.
He's like a matador. Like, people run at him with swords and he like knocks them over.
Hmm.
And I was going to ask him if like he could fight Steven Seagal and beat him, but then I was also going to ask him if he could fight Steven Seagal with a sword and beat him and see if it was a different answer. So, because I think that he'd be at a disadvantage if you gave him the sword.
So you're saying he could probably take Steven Seagal normal, but if Michael Jai White had a sword, it might be harder because
that's what Steven Seagal trains for. That's what he's ready for.
Well, Steven Seagal only uses like upper body, and especially now you can see that he probably isn't moving around too much.
See, Steven Seagal does not have a hair part. All of his hair just goes straight back.
Straight back, ponytail.
Yeah. I like Michael Jai White.
I do too, and I wanted to see, you know, I wanted to ask him, now that we're talking about things we wish we would have asked
him. Let's just talk about all the things we wish we had asked Michael Jai White. We kept him way longer than we were supposed to, Travis. We were naughty boys.
He didn't seem too irritated with it.
Well, I mean, he's a professional, Travis, but I'm sure he's rolling his eyes saying, why did I talk to the Dix guys 15 minutes longer than they said?
I wanted to know, you know, he was talking about the outreach with his fans and how happy he was that social media has provided that. I wanted to see if he was going to be touring the Outlaw Johnny Black after production was wrapped. I would like to know if he was going to take that around the country and do like appearances in Q&A.
Well, I'll email his people.
Email his people. I'm curious. I'd make a trip for that because there's no possible way he's coming anywhere near me. So I'm going to have to drive at least to Chicago to see something like that.
You don't think he's going to come to Wisconsin for the Outlaw Johnny Black?
Maybe to Milwaukee, possibly, but that's still a 3.5-hour drive for me.
Not the booming metropolis of Madison?
Well, that's still 2 hours for me.
Well, there you go.
Travis, did you happen to catch me and Drunk's conversation from yesterday?
About the making t-shirts?
Drunk thought that he knew better than me, Travis, and he was wrong.
Well, he said he had a guy. You said, go ahead and listen to the guy. And then he listened to the guy, and you said, oh, shit, you shouldn't have listened to that guy.
A long time ago, I made T-shirts. You know, back when I made T-shirts, Travis. I made T-shirts for Drunk's Wiffle Ball team.
Before you shut down your T-shirt empire?
My T-shirt empire is packed up. I'm done with it. My T-shirt empire is out in the garage. It's under the stairs. And
what, you don't like any money? You don't like money?
I just don't like it. I don't like it.
Drunk, you want to get into the t-shirt business?
Well, Drunk dabbled in the t-shirt business, Travis, and it didn't work out too well for him. Didn't work out.
I don't think he studied. you know, before he started making shirts, I think he asked a couple of questions of a couple of people, and he's just like, hey, I'm going to make a shirt.
Do you want to know why he didn't study, Travis? Because he was diminishing my art. He thought that just anyone could do it with some store-bought Walmart ink bullshit and an iron.
I'll tell you what, that's not true. I recently, every year I buy a birthday shirt for my children, like personalized with their names and whatever they're into at that time. And this year I got a doozy. I couldn't find the thing I wanted on eBay or anywhere else online except Bonanza. And this guy was able to make this customized shirt.
Bonanza.
Washed that thing one time inside out on cold and delicate, and I'll tell you what, that transfer crumbled like a motherfucker.
Right. It's no joke. And what happened, Drunk, when you went over there and you said, oh, well, my mom was a Girl Scout leader, and she has it, Mike. Don't worry about it. We got this. You and your art are bullshit. And how'd it turn out, Drunk? Go ahead and tell everybody. How'd it turn out?
Well, nice. You might want to put a little time counter on this, because I know you'll probably want to clip it off for future episodes, but Mike was right. Drunk was wrong. Mike is attractive. Drunk is a hunchback.
But could you beat Liam Neeson in a fight?
Drunk is stupid. Mike is the smartest person that I know.
Travis, don't laugh during this. I need this clean.
Is this going to be like your daily mantra? You're going to play this every day? Right when you wake up, that'll be your alarm in the morning?
I'm
going
to put it on my iPod. I'm going to put in earbuds, and I'm going to part my hair to the right, look myself in the mirror, and listen to Drunk say these words.
I wish I could be as good as Mike.
That's good. That's good. Are you sorry?
Drunk does nothing well. Mike does everything well.
He went and bought a Dick Blick craft store squeegee, Travis, and some water-based Walmart ink. And he just thought he could do what I do, Travis. I was an eBay power seller. I'm a professional, Drunk.
Yeah, until they kicked you off.
Travis, here's the thing.
Mike knows everything. Drunk doesn't know his asshole from a hole in the ground.
Drunk said he had a guy, and that if I just gave him the screen, he would take it to the guy. I thought I was giving him the screen, and he was going to take it somewhere, and somebody who knew what they were doing was going to do it. I didn't know Drunk was going to go all craft store on me. Well, if I knew you were going out and buying shit, Drunk, I would have helped you. I would have taken some stuff out of the garage. I would have figured it out.
That guy didn't respond, and Wiffle Ball...
Why didn't you just
right
come to me,
corner.
Drunk? I'm a really good person.
I know you
I would have helped you.
I was scared. I'm sorry.
Don't be scared, Drunk. Me and you were really good friends.
Okay.
You're the only one that hasn't left me yet.
You won't yell at me like you yelled at Napier?
Well, I mean, I probably will, but...
For the time being, you're safe.
Yeah, I mean, then the next week I'll have forgotten about it, and we'll just do a different thing.
Thanks, buddy.
Like, I mean, we're not going to talk about hair parts next week. That's this week, Drunk. We don't do bits from week to week. Once it's gone, it's gone.
So now for Mike's pick of the week.
Guys, look, if you're a man, if you're listening to this, if you have hair, what I want you to do is I want you to get a comb. I want you to dampen your hair. And I want you to just try to comb it the opposite direction that it usually goes. And I just want you to look at it and see if it's off-putting to you. See if it's weird. I don't know. I feel like it's all subconscious, and I think that like you could probably just look at pictures and like knowing what you're looking for, I think you'll say, oh, that looks fine. But maybe there's something to it. Maybe it's like a...
I'm pretty sure if I tried to part my hair to the side right now, I would look like an early 2000s punk rock member.
You're kind of like a down the middle guy.
You know, generally what I do is I go straight back and then I put my headband in.
Headband guy.
Headband
guy. It's a different breed, the headband guy.
You don't see a lot of headband guys anymore.
I was trying to find examples of Michael Jai White parting his hair from one side to the other, but he pretty much sticks to like right down the middle. So I wasn't able to really get into it with him.
I see, and I am serious when I ask that question about how much better he looks than I do when he has at least a decade on me. It made me feel really bad about myself today.
Well, see, he started karate at a young age, Travis. He started karate when he was like 8. And I think that like gives you discipline and like, you know, it gets you focused and stuff. We should have done karate.
I think something should have happened. Like I look at my 6-year-old and my 6-year-old has like abs. He can do weird sit-ups off the couch, like half upside down and shit. I'm like, God, we got to keep you doing that because you don't want to be a 37-year-old half balding fat guy sitting on the couch hurting every time he gets up to go get a snack out of the kitchen.
Go back and Marty McFly back to like when you were 7.
I gotta pause this episode of Friends. I gotta go. I don't want to miss what Joey's doing. I gotta go get some cheese doodles. Oh fuck, this hurts.
Jody the man buns next, buddy.
Travis, do you have like a
pick of the week?
Pick of the week? Do either of you have a pick of the week?
My pick of the week is the recently defunct Happy Ghost t-shirts. The owner of that company was a genius, and no t-shirts could ever be better than those were.
Really nice shirts, and I miss them. I miss them on the internet as well.
Well, it looks like they're coming out of retirement for one night only so I can bail out my dumb shit friend.
I'm glad you had the color on you, too. Thanks, buddy.
Green Bay Gold.
Green Bay Gold.
Yeah, that's what it's called. I said I don't want that banana yellow. I want that Green Bay Gold. And they found it for me. And they said, okay, we'll call it Green Bay Gold. Travis, pick of the week.
So nope.
Guys, we'll do it again next week.
Yes.
We appreciate all of you hanging out. Be sure to check out Michael Jai White's Kickstarter. It's not a Kickstarter. I don't want to call it that. Check it out. If you haven't seen Black Dynamite yet, for fuck's sake, go watch Black Dynamite. That movie's great.
Jesus Christ. That's my pick of the week. I do have one. Watch Black Dynamite if you haven't seen it. If you have seen it, I don't have a pick of the week.
And see Boss, Fred Williamson's Boss, too, because I can't tell you the full name of it, but you'll find it. Thanks, everyone, for coming and hanging out and chat. Rabbit Poundings and Jody and Michelle and Anchor and Matt and anybody else, whoever posted that White Ranger and Hulk Hogan. It's cool. I think Michael Jai White should go to space. That'd be a cool one.
That would be fun.
Horror.
He said trilogy, but I think he can extend this into a quadrilogy. So.
Just keep making them. Keep making them.
Guns out, phones out.
Travis.
Yeah.
Rob just showed up in chat and he says, oh, I love Michael Jai White. I missed it.
Why'd he miss it? What was he doing?
Luckily, we still do this in podcast form so he can go back and listen.
Drunk. He missed it.
Well, it's not like it's Grant Morrison or anything. He can go back and listen to the show.
You motherfucker. You motherfucker.
We need to quit bringing that up. Like, why do you keep bringing up our...
That was my favorite show of all time, like our, and nobody
our,
can
like
hear it.
One major failure, and it seems like you bring it up every week, Drunk. It's like you just... Every week, you gotta dig that dagger a little bit deeper.
That's like my personal failure, too. It's not just like the show thing. It's just like, it was so fucking close to this cool-ass thing. Like, this payoff. This podcast payoff. There's been some podcast payoffs. Tonight was one of them with Michael Jai White, because I love Michael Jai White. I'll tell you what, I've never been so excited.
And every week he brings it up, Travis.
Every
every week Drunk shows up and he's like, hey, you're still not good enough. You'll never be good enough.
You're so close to greatness. It's too bad.
I'm sure you could meet him at like a Comic-Con or something.
Hey.
Right? You don't do Comic-Con.
Guys, you remember that time you epically fucked up?
You could shake his hand and be like, hey, I'm the one that hung up on you during that one podcast.
Actually, I didn't hang up on him, Drunk. I asked him to hang up on me.
Hey, hang up. I'll call you back.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Hey, you suck. And your podcast is garbage. And I'm on the podcast, and every week I have to remind you that. Which is really the only reason that Travis is on the podcast, is because every week Drunk would show up and tell me that I suck at podcasting, and I needed an ally. I needed somebody to like say positive things and like encourage greatness, because that's what we strive for. We don't want to dwell in our past mistakes, Drunk. We want to move forward.
I mean, I'm happy to talk about any other past mistake, but this one is just
from
stinks.
Now on, Travis. You all know right. What I'm doing?
I'll try to do this.
We're not going to mention that cursed show ever again. And if Drunk brings it up, I'm going to tase him.
Or you can just play that cool Friends transition music.
I gotta keep it for any time Drunk brings it up and be like, see, but that encourages him, Travis, because it's pleasant.
That's true. And then every time I watch Friends, it'll be like PTSD, where I'll be
right.
Like,
right. You don't want to ruin the Friends song.
I'll tell you what. I'll try to go the rest of the month of April without bringing up the man's name.
Like, what is it? Like 2 weeks.
All right, April and May. How does that sound?
All right, April is
officially Don't Mention Grant Morrison month on the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program.
Yeah, that's our new April theme.
That's our new theme. We get 1 month where Drunk doesn't stab us in the heart.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
Guys, thank you for listening to this installment of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. You can join us live every Tuesday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. Be sure to check out all the other great shows that station offers almost every night of the week. There's a live show worth checking out. You can download past episodes of our lengthy catalog or enjoy other premium content on our website found at wfodicks.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WFO Dicks.
Email us, mike@wfodix.com or travis@wfodix.com. Believe there's a drunk@wfodix.com also. If you have words for the drunk, give us any feedback or questions or comments or whatever you got. Send it on over to us. You can give us a call also, 636-487-HAND. That is while we are alive or while we are not. You can leave a message. Again, that phone number is 636-487-HAND. Special thanks go out to our Patreon contributors. Harry Balzonia, Liquid Lozenge, and Brian Kranz. If you'd like to contribute, it's patreon.com/WFODix. Drop a buck here or there. Helps us keep the lights on. Although, it's not going to go to my light bill, guys. It's just a phrase, I think. I don't know what it means. But, yeah. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. We appreciate all of you, big and small. We're glad you're out there. If we don't show appreciation enough, it's probably my fault. I'm sorry.
Lots of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself. Bye.
I will destroy Liam Neeson in a fight.